From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Recently, Dr. Cairns began a series of studies in Psalm 119. Not only is this the longest of the Psalms, it is also the longest chapter in the Bible. The subject of the Psalm is the Word of God, expressed in many different ways. As he expounds the teachings of this Psalm, Dr. Cairns is emphasizing the theme of living clean in an unclean world. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 6. His ways are everlasting. What he hath done at one time, he will do yet again. Man's ways are variable, but God's ways are everlasting. There are many reasons for this most comforting truth. Among them are the following. The Lord's ways are the result of wise deliberation. He ordereth all things according to the counsel of his own will. Human action is frequently the hasty result of passion or fear, and is followed by regret and alteration. But nothing can take the Almighty by surprise, or happen otherwise than he has foreseen. His ways are the outgrowth of an immutable character, and in them the fixed and settled attributes of God are clearly to be seen. Unless the Eternal One himself can undergo change, his ways, which are himself in action, must remain forever the same. Is he eternally just, gracious, faithful, wise, tender? Then his ways must ever be distinguished for the same excellences. Beings act according to their nature. When those natures change, their conduct varies also. But since God cannot know the shadow of a turning, his ways will abide everlastingly the same. Moreover, there is no reason from without which could reverse the divine ways, since they are the embodiment of irresistible might. The earth is said by the prophet to be cleft with rivers, mountains tremble, the deep lifts up its hands, and sun and moon stand still when Jehovah marches forth for the salvation of his people. Who can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? But it is not might alone which gives stability. God's ways are the manifestation of the eternal principles of right, and therefore can never pass away. Wrong breeds decay and involves ruin, but the true and the good have about them a vitality which ages cannot diminish. This morning, let us go to our Heavenly Father with confidence, remembering that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and in Him the Lord is ever gracious to his people.
Thank you.
At this season of the year, the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. The Apostle John wrote, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Prior to the birth of the Lord Jesus, Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last. Recently, Dr. Cairns began a series on the theme, Living Clean in an Unclean World. The text for the series is Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. The first message was based on verse 9, Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his second message in the series, taking as his text verse 10 of the Psalm, With my whole heart have I sought thee, Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. In introducing this message entitled The Importance of a Vital Prayer Life,
Dr. Cairns is explaining what it means to live clean. God has given us everything we need to live clean in this world. The Bible addresses every area of life, including our thoughts, our words, our walk, the company we keep, as well as how we are to conduct our marriages. In all of these areas, believers are called upon to submit to the precepts of God's Word. And now to bring God's Word for today, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
The Bible has a lot to say about what we think about. It all comes back to the Savior. All comes back to Him. Let me ask you, how much time have you spent thinking of the Lord this week? How much time have you spent with that book pondering the mighty beauties of the Savior and the glories of His sovereign grace? How much time have you spent at the cross beholding all that's pure and holy and just and good in the love of God in Christ Jesus? That's the command. That's the command. Starts with our thoughts. Goes on to our words. In Ephesians 4:29, Paul says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." Now that's the negative. No corrupt communication. Get the words that are going to be corrupting, words that are going to spread the darkness of sin, words that are wicked, let them not come out of your mouth. And then he says, what should come out of your mouth? What is good to the use of edifying? What is going to be good to build up God's people, that it may minister grace unto the hearers? You ever met with a person, when you talk with that person, you think you've met with the Lord, there's been a word for your heart? Have you ever gone into a home, and when you go into that home, you think you're in a little bit of heaven? When they talk to you, there is a sense of God. That's what Paul's talking about. That's not to be for superheroes or super homes. That's the command of God. You can go on in Ephesians 4, a little earlier, verse 15. He says, you're to speak the truth in love, that you may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. In verse 25, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. Writing to the Colossians, he puts it slightly differently, but it's the same truth. In Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. The Bible commands what we've got to say. Our speech is not simply to be as it all too often is, the reaction of the mood we happen to be in. God commands that our speech be according to His commandment, a speech that's coming out of our fellowship with Christ. He talks about our walk. This is your daily conversation. This is our walk as how we proceed through this world. It's the way we live. And in Ephesians 4, verse 1, he says, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Now think of the motivation. I'm called to be a Christian. I'm called by the name of Jesus Christ. I bear that name before the world. And Paul says, that's your calling. It's a holy calling. It's a heavenly calling. And he says, walk worthy of it. That's a separated walk. Later in the chapter, in verse 17, he says, walk not as other Gentiles. Don't be walking the way the world walks. If you want to walk to be in step with the world, if you want to walk so as the ungodly are going to clap you in the back and say, great fellow, then you will not be walking as a Christian. It's impossible. You're not to walk as other Gentiles. In chapter 5, he starts off with the walk again. And in that walk, you're to be imitators of God. What a word. Imitators of God. Peter said, quoting the Lord's own word, be ye holy, for I am holy. So, he's commanding our walk. Talks about the company we're supposed to keep. Is there anything that's right more bang on the subject, especially for young Christians? The company you keep. Now, let me just back up. We live in a world that our fathers and mothers and grandfathers could never have imagined. You see, I'm very young still. I mean, I haven't quite reached 100. And I think a lot of people here would have to be in the same position as myself, maybe even ones that are considerably younger. But when I was a kid, to keep company with somebody, you really almost had to be in their physical presence. Now, there were other ways. There were magazines, and just as any other time, there was stuff in print that was absolutely violent, so therefore you could keep company that way. But it was always under the counter. It was never anything that was very public. So, and of course, there was the cinema. But where I grew up, first of all, Christians didn't go to the cinema, and I still believe that Christians are far better to keep as far away from Hollywood as they can. But, for the most part, to be in somebody's company, you had to be physically in their presence. Now, of course, that meant that your mother and your father and your uncle and your brother and your sister and your minister and your Sunday school teacher and your neighbor and everybody else could keep a much closer tab on you. Oh, we always laugh when my sister-in-law, who was a little rebellious, decided she was going to be going to a certain cinema. There was a line outside it, and there she was, far from home, so she's all right. Man, her parents knew before she even got home. Somebody had seen her. What's she doing in the cinema queue? It's not that way anymore. Not that way anymore. I thought this was something that people wrote about for books or TV shows or whatever, where grown people, educated people, skillful people, professional people, and sometimes Christian people, hardly go out anymore. They live in front of a computer. They adopt a fictitious identity. They buy, they sell, they fellowship, I don't know, they might even get married for all I know, all in a virtual world. And in many cases, they get into things that are as wicked and as godless. And that's company. There's so many ways, whether television, films, computer, I haven't a clue about all those programs. I detest them, so I'm not going to try and name them. The company you keep. Now, what does the Bible say? Go to Proverbs chapter 1. My son, verse 10, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Now, I think that's pretty plain. If sinners come along enticing you, He says, don't consent. In other words, there's a very vital lesson here for every Christian. That is, you draw the line of separation at the earliest possible moment. When sinners entice you, you don't go a mile down the road with them, and when they're about to get into great public wickedness, say then, no, no, I want to stop the world and get off. It's going to be very difficult to get off. He says right at the beginning, when they start laying the lure before you, when they start putting the enticement in your ears, consent thou not. That's where you start. And if every Christian were to obey that, and if every young person were to live by that, there'd be no such thing as being inveigled into the drug abuse and the alcohol abuse and the immorality and the broken lives that come down the line. Would be no such thing. Consent thou not. Right at the beginning. Go down to verse 15. My son, walk not thou with them in the way. Refrain thy foot from their path. Now here's the thing, Christians have to be friendly toward unsaved people to win them for Christ. But they are not to walk in the way of the ungodly. They are not to walk in the path of sinners. The company you keep, and that covers every kind of company, physical or virtual. The company you keep. The Bible has something to say about it. Bible talks about your marriage. I know husbands love to hear it when preachers quote Ephesians chapter 5 and tells them, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord, Ephesians 5:22. The Bible says that. And the Bible means it. And I know we can joke and all the rest of it, but I want to tell you part of the breakdown in families is because so many Christian women are unwilling to trust God and believe that God knows best. And the reality is they are the manipulators. As my sister used to say, my husband is the head of our house, but I'm the neck. And there's many a time that's true. And you do it to the destruction of your home and your family and your marriage and your own happiness. What husbands don't too often like to hear is that the same scripture says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. God has not made husbands little tin pot dictators. They don't like to hear, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. With that selfless, sacrificial, notice this, sanctifying love. And if your love for your wife is not putting her before you, you don't love as Christ loved. If your love for your wife is not one that costs you, that you are sacrificing, you don't love as Christ loved. And most of all, if your love for your wife does not have a sanctifying effect to make her a holier woman and bring her to the feet of the Savior and bring her to the throne of grace, then you are not loving as Christ loved. That's the command of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge simply for the asking.
Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.